but have at it.
Right. All right, we will call the meeting to order of the McKinney Public Library Advisory Board. Today is Thursday, June 20th. It is 5 o'clock. We are at Roy and Helen Hall Memorial Library. And first thing we'll do is take roll. So Lisa Harris.
Here.
Stacy Ridenour.
Here.
Beth Beck.
Here.
And I am Elizabeth Michelle. And we are going to skip over the minutes just for now and go to our reports. The first report, discuss Hall Public Services Report. That's going to be Mr. Ed Veal.
All right. As you all know, things have been growing here. Spencer's talked about it in his monthly reports. I hit some highlights in this report. I'm just going to briefly talk about them. I'm not going to read this to you. But as you can tell, this is based on the last 6 months-ish. It's not up on the screen. There's nothing up there. The circulation has increased here. We have gotten busier. It's not just a product of the summer. The last 6 or 8 months, things have begun to pick up again. We're seeing numbers month over month, slightly higher than the month previous year, than the year's the same month a year ago. For example, in this, you know, we've seen 3,000 unique borrowers, 400 more. That shows that we're getting more unique people checking stuff out. Beyond that, we're adding on average about 200 new patrons a month here, which means we're getting new faces, not just uniquely, you know, not just people coming in once in a while. As you remember, we changed our hours in January. So we thought 6 months was a good time to look at that and see how that's working out. It's working out very well. It has not been a simple hour-for-hour change, which we did not expect. We didn't all of a sudden expect all the people that were here between 7 and 8 at night to show up between 8 and 9 in the morning. That's not logical. But what it has done is our activity and circulation and just general activity between, we'll say, 9:30 and 11. We used to open at 10. We're getting a whole lot more people coming in that 9 to 10 o'clock hour, and then they start checking out right at that 10 o'clock hour. So, and then other hours, we have seen significant increases. So we're sure everybody's being served in these new hours, and it has increased morning activity. We that 8 o'clock, 8 to 9 hour is still pretty slow, but that's okay. A lot of the folks that are coming in are using the study rooms, setting up meetings early, that kind of thing. Not so much checking out material, but using the space, which helps a lot. Thanks to some hard work by a couple of our shelvers and the two of us, we finished cutting down the final bits of the juvenile shelving. So now everything is even. There's no longer those high shelves sticking up there. So now it looks clean, nice, like we want it to.
And we're done. Safety issue?
It's visibility, staffing, safety, but it's really so a staff member can walk over and see straight across.
Yeah. Yes. Be able to see what's going on. And it just, it looked really bad when you've got juvenile material no higher than this, and you've got these shelves that go up, you know, so much higher than it are being used. It just didn't work.
With all the light in the room since we did last time, the more of the tall shelves you can remove, the more light and bright and open it feels. And there's constant activity in that zone since then. There are just always people up there.
And a lot of that has to do with summer, but a lot of it also is just after school. We're seeing more and more kids and younger families here again. But that's the last plans we have for cutting down any shelves. So I think we're pretty much done with that project. We're not going to do the adult nonfiction at this point. That's working. I mean fiction. Yeah. Fiction, not nonfiction. The renovation of this building. As some of y'all probably know, if you you should know. Council has approved a contract with a design firm that had done the initial beginning plan to actually do a true architectural move this project forward. So funds were set up, contracts are being signed, that is moving forward. What's very important to me with that is the design firm, 720, is being asked to work closely with the development companies that are doing the redevelopment down here after the city buildings are, after everybody moves over to the new city hall and they redevelop this area. So that we redevelop this building, we renovate this building so that it fits with all of that redevelopment. So we're not going down one design development, you know, and they all look very radically different. You know, we want to fit in as best we can. And part of our goal is to make this building kind of the northern entrance to downtown. Because we've got parking here, if you get buildings over here, we redo more mixed-use building back here. People are going to be using this as an entrance into downtown. So that's kind of important to us, to make that relationship work.
I had a question about
Sure.
I know we kind of saw like a brief thing about like what it could look like. Mm-hmm. I think it was the person from 720.
Yeah.
Has there been any updates to like what it's going to look like?
That's the full process.
That's what this contract does. It allows them to do the full...
Is it design though, or is it...
It's everything. So what they've done before was roughly $50,000 to $60,000 worth of work to get basic pricing to see what you could do to do that. This next contract was $1.1 million that'll carry them all the way through construction and renovation as the architect to do that. So it's full design. So yes, there will be more iterations, more visits with the board, more feedback and saying, here's what this is, here's what this
there's
is.
There's the design phase.
Yes, and the design phase is roughly...
And then there's approval, and then there's the next. But they can approve for the whole thing, but they'll still...
Yes. The design phase will be roughly probably 8 or 9 months. And then at some point along there, we'll have a target of the money that we're going to need. We go to council, ask for that funding. Once we get that funding, then construction will be roughly a year. Is what they're saying, and that'll be this building closed because the bathrooms have to go, and once the bathrooms go, you can't be open. And so we're talking a lot about how are we going to still serve this side of town, what staff, which is all
that's my next thing.
Yeah. But yes, what you saw was a very rough draft of, hey, we're going to ballpark what could be possible. Now they get into the nitty-gritty of what can you actually do? Where does the money go? What are the features? What's the furniture? All of that stuff will be part of that process.
So with the redevelopment, I haven't been completely on top of that. Are the buildings going up?
We have not seen anything.
That's why I'm wondering how it affects this. Does this go up too?
No. If anything, it's going to affect the parking, the surrounding areas, the courtyard. But we don't have the funding to do much to the shape or it's going to be all internal focused except for like the courtyard landscaping. Like we have the big retaining wall. If it's going to be a big pedestrian plaza with no curbs, do we need a big retaining wall or should that be leveled out? That kind of, like if we have one entrance but the parking garage is going to be right there, does that change how we want all that stuff to work?
Is there any input coming in, I guess, or like who gets to help put suggestions in about design? Like one thing I'm thinking about is like we visited Frisco's library and like the kids department is amazing, like what they've done and like seeing what like changing some of that. I'm like, I know you guys can't replicate and copy all of that financially and all of those things. I'm like, who gets to help put in those suggestions?
They've already had public input. They had public input before.
Well, yeah.
There was a big, so they had 600 plus comments before from public input from when they did the original meeting. It went out to, and we have 7,000 people that sign up for our newsletter, so it went out there, it went out several places, but it never stops. I will tell you, our goal is to make this, for this side of town, equal or better than John and Judy Day for the other side of town.
Okay, cool.
That's not even a question. Like, it's got to be. And there are things in the process that will come up that aren't for sure yet, but we will work hard to get in there. And as we get deeper and they present again to the board, those things will, you'll see them, and there'll be plenty of opportunity to provide.
I was just excited to see what they were. I already liked what they pitched, and I was just excited. So
where we are now, even before they've done that, there's way more.
Okay.
It's way more.
I figured.
We have continued to have conversations.
Yes.
And answer.
But after the design phase, most likely this board will be briefed on.
Yes.
Here's the design.
Yes. A guarantee, not most likely.
Okay.
And it will probably be before here's the design. It will be like, here's what we're thinking. Now it's going into engineering. Now we're going to, you know, find, you know, do we have the money? And then you're going to find the stuff that's in the walls that wasn't on any plan, and you have to back stuff out and do all that. But yes, there will be. It is not. Your job is not done. It is not. It is not done. Nothing is written in stone. It's just going to be a long process.
And I do remember the questionnaire. I appreciate that went out.
Yes, and it might not be the last one. We might. I know with John and Judy Gay, we had mock-ups done that were just set out there to invite public comment early on, things like that.
Because this is going to be such a lengthy process, one of the things that I'm working with our staff specifically on is how do we do some level of continuation of continuum of service if this building is closed long-term for renovations. You can't be open without bathrooms in the discussion. And if we're having to do all this stuff, we can't do it in a way like John and Judy Gay was, where they were able to keep that library open while they added on to it and then had to do a short delivery. We're probably going to have this library closed for extended period. We're looking at all sorts of things.
We've talked about floor space in the new City Hall.
Yes.
Things like that.
Partnering
with Parks Department, partnering with schools, things like that.
Tufts.
We've done programs there before in the old rooms. Our adult spelling bee was very popular.
But yes, that's the kind of thing that we're focusing on now before we get to that one.
And
how do we have those ideas, plans, and stuff in place? And so much of the technical services, a lot of the back-end stuff happens in this building. And there's not space at JJG to have it done there.
Yeah.
So we're having to come up with ways to make all that work too.
Every new book
comes through this building
first. That can't happen anymore. We can't just take all the programs we do here and do them at John and Judy Gay because there's not enough hours in a day. We can't just put staff over there because there are no more chairs. I mean, so we're figuring all that out through this design phase to make it as seamless as possible.
And as a general thought that I have with most of the staff, anything that we come up with needs to be long-term.
Yeah.
Not a band-aid to get us through this process, but how do we rework our workflows to make them more efficient so that process will continue on beyond the renovation? If we start if we have, you know, relationships with, say, parks to have some kind of kiosk or something, how do we maintain that going forward? That's going to become a service, not just a band-aid to get us through this period of time. So we're trying to think about it very deeply.
Is it
tentatively
2025,
or
is it really don't know yet?
We don't know yet.
Design.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at an 8 to 9 month design process, and then it's going to be 11 months to a year of construction. So it just depends on when we start, if there's not another pandemic. That happened to John Judy Gay, which threw us off, but we'll get it there. So.
And y'all will know all of that as it's happening.
Once it starts, it will be an agenda item on the director's report, pretty much every report. And sometimes it'll be like, nothing's changed, but it'll be there kind of every time. So.
Great. Any other questions?
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We will move to the minutes from the last meeting for approval. Everyone has had a chance, hopefully, to review those. If you haven't had a chance to review them, we have them now in front of you. Is there any changes or questions on the minutes from last meeting? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve. Lisa, thank you. Seconded by Stacy. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And next on the agenda will be our director's report from Spencer for May 2024.
Thank you. Good news all around, pretty much for last month. So our circulation is continuing to grow. That it's not back to pre-pandemic levels, but every time I say that, remember we used to have two-week checkouts. Now we have 3-week checkouts, so that's going to mess with your numbers because you're not getting as many renewals as quickly because it's the same time. A lot of the growth that we are seeing is coming from this building. So John and Judy Gay is still growing a little bit, but percentage-wise, Paul is growing about 5% year over year, which is pretty amazing because leading up to the pandemic and right after the pandemic, that was not the case. But we're starting to see that. Now, hopefully, I don't want to say hopefully had a hard time parking, but hopefully you saw the parking lot has been full. The study rooms are being used, all that. And you can see in the unique borrowers, throwing in digital borrowers, that is the most unique borrowers we've had in May ever. So that is unique cards used to check out at least one item during that month. Almost 15,000 people. We're pleased with that. You'll see John and Judy Gay is in the orange, and it's always busier. Just is. And digital is continuing to grow a little bit there, though not as much as it was immediately after the pandemic. And then programming. This is an adjusted program number. So if you go back and look at last year, which I know you want to dig through all my reports from here, but last year we had a big outreach program that was counted. Because we went to a school and whoever went just counted every student that was there. That's not how we do things anymore, or we shouldn't have been at the time. And we also had volunteers. Volunteers was just every day after school, or every day teens would show up, even if we didn't have a whole lot for them to do. We'd find busy work for them. We've changed our, and we counted it as a program. So if you remove volunteers and you remove that one outreach program, we actually had more program attendees in May this year than we did excluding those things last year. So there's a difference a bit, the different colors there about the target audience. Our pre-K and school numbers were down a little bit, but our all ages numbers were up. And that's just because we changed some of our programs because we realized the audience really was all ages. It wasn't just K through five. But you see that. I want to point out, if you're not following the city's Instagram, they're very kind to us with marketing. There's a lot of library stuff on there, and library staff does a really good job. I believe the last one we were on there, you'll see Alicia dancing in the snacks as a promotion. They always get a lot of likes. That's David and Kelly just kind of walking people through a little bit behind the scenes of library staff. I think they did coordinate tie-dye, but that was not an order from me, so just so you know that. But our marketing department's been really good about including us there. We don't have our own Instagram, but with the regularity in which they're putting the library on there, it really helps us out a lot. As far as the monthly targets, I don't know why on this screen size it doesn't automatically change like it does on the other one. But I will say Atomic Habits, still the most popular adult nonfiction. That's going on like 16 months straight. We have, what do we look at it, 15 copies, and they're all checked out all the time, so we just need to buy more, we're working on it. The most reserved title is The Women by Kristen Hanna, and the most anticipated title is Swan Song by Ellen Hildebrand. This same month last year, the most anticipated title was her last novel. So she is a summer novel author. If you're not on the list, get on the list, everybody on the list, every three people, we buy another copy. So that's how we make sure we get enough copies. And just to show that quality is not included as a little opinion piece there, Madam Web was the most watched, the most checked out movie. I don't know if you've seen that or not. Oh, it was not good. I don't recommend
it. So good.
I don't
recommend it. It was awful.
It was terrible.
Yeah. But Six Sigma Foundations for LinkedIn Learning is getting on. Then most streamed video was an astronaut's toughest job in the universe, a BBC reality series about people going through astronaut school and basically getting failed. It's like Survivor, but you're trying to be an astronaut. And so that's the most popular streaming video of May. Our biggest program attendance for May was the East West Fest. We had that grew. We had that at John Jude Gay this year, and we had over 650 people attend, which was significant growth from last year, which last year was like four. It wasn't tiny, but it was much bigger over John Jude Gay. Very well, lots of partners, very well attended, representing Asian American Heritage Month there. Our volunteer hours, you can't see it at all on this. I need to change the monitor that I prepared this on. I apologize. We did have nearly 400 volunteer hours. So keep in mind, when you look at last year, not only were volunteers a program, but they counted as volunteer hours. So now we're, the volunteer hours that we're counting are more quality hours. They are saving staff time. They are pulling pending hundreds and hundreds of books on hold every day. If you look at this bottom chart here where it says hold satisfied in May, 12,434. A lot of those are pulled off our shelves. That is volunteers, teens, adults are pulling those things a couple of hours every day, pulling those off. So that continues to grow with the quality of that, and Annie, our volunteer coordinator, is doing a great job. We have a lot of repeat volunteers, which before we have teens doing, you know, one session, two sessions to get their checkbox done and gone. Now we have them that are just coming back. She's really building relationships. The new library members that I was talking about there. So as a system, we made over 1,000 new members last month. And that's pretty great when we hit those numbers. And then the average attendance per program, this is where you get the target audience thing there. You see our all ages, and our pre-K was up, our school age, our adult were down, and our teen was down, but we've all teens. So that's a running thing. And then there's the total number of programs below them. So the average attendance in these was up. Sometimes it's because we just killed a program that wasn't working. And we got the same number of people coming to everything else, but we had a program before that would get one person, zero people. The Domino's meetup, I think, had one person for an entire season show up. So sometimes we have to kind of kill those because we do focus on the number of programs and the average. We could do, you know, one program and get 650 people and say, hey, we average 650 people, but we got to find that balance to get both. And so you see 6 through 12, the number dropped and the average dropped, but we really want to focus on quality for those programs. And some, like the It Might Get Loud, it's classified as an adult program, but really it's kind of an all-age program now because we do get all ages in there. It's really nice. This bottom picture, there is a foundation. We mentioned that last time. Here are members of the board. From their picture that they took and posted for us. I will be attending their meeting. They are going to start getting some targets for fundraising for gift donations. So if you know of groups that want to do charitable giving, need to do charitable giving, land giving, anything like that, the foundation is fully set up as a nonprofit to take those donations, and their charter and bylaws guarantee that they work toward the mission of supporting this library. So every dollar that goes there will support the library. Any questions about that or anything else?
Just can we get the foundation information?
Yes, they will have someone presenting at one of these meetings in the future. And then I believe last meeting it was mentioned, we should have members that are designated from the board that are liaisons to the foundation. So just like we have a council member who's a liaison here, it doesn't even have to go every time. It just means you're the point person for them. But we will work on whenever they get their stuff up and running for them to come and do a presentation here. They have 15 board members. And they have to have at least a certain number. When we put out the call for 15, we actually had more people show up. So some people, it was competitive. Not everybody who wanted to be on the foundation got to be on the foundation. But we will get that shared as they come and do a presentation soon with you. I know they have a bank account. I don't know what it is, but that was, you know, getting started, that was like the next step, but now they're set up. And then when the Friends sunset, they had roughly $25,000 in their account. They have transferred that over to the foundation. So they have some money to seed to start things to get going. So it's really exciting.
So the foundation's new?
It's brand new. So we had a Friends group When I got here, it had kind of died and it started back up with a handful of people. That same handful of people were the ones who ran everything up until they were like, we're tired.
It was.
But it was a friends group, but it was a different group. And with the bookkeeping and everything, the advice from legal was start a new one. That way, if the friends want to start back up, a friends group can start back up being separate from the foundation. But this would be, and the foundation's mission is specifically to raise funds to support the library. It started clean, other than that transfer, which was a gift from one nonprofit to another. And that was by legal advice, just if there's ever any problem with the Friends bookkeeping, because there were so many people doing it for so long, none of that impacts the foundation. We don't anticipate there was anything, but whatever lawyer tells you, this is what you should do.
Also, they do have a web page attached to our web page.
Oh, yes.
So if you go to the McKinney Public Library web page or just do the McKinney Public Library Foundation, it'll pop up and they've got an email address already. So you can reach out to them if you needed to contact them.
Other than that, I do invite you all, if you get a chance, to browse around upstairs and see the difference once those tall shelves have been cut down. It really makes it.
Thank you, Spencer. All right, any other questions or comments from the board? All right, if not, then we can have a motion to adjourn. Lisa Harris and Beth Beck, thank you.
I'm an alternate.
That's okay. Stacy, you're a regular today because we need you. All in favor to adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned. The next meeting is going to be July 18th at John and Judy Gay. All right. Thank you all.
Thanks, Chair.
Yes.
I don't know how to stop.